Now, brother,
read the Bible when you're weary and blue.
Why don't you
read the Bible, brother? Every word is true. Take your troubles to the book of life and pray. Read the Bible every day.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, June 3rd, 2019. It's a memorization Monday. And not to wear out this special guest, but I couldn't think of a better person that could divide God's word on this topic, somebody that's shared it with me over the years. In fact, I think part of his church's, I don't think I'd say mission statement, but something that's core to their belief systems, core to how to raise the family up in the Lord, core to some of their curriculum or setup is what we're going to be talking about today. It's Deuteronomy 6:7, which states, impress them on your children, talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. And that's about the precepts, God's word. In fact, last week, Deuteronomy 6:6 was, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. So I'm sure that'll be included in this as we talk about Deuteronomy 6:7. But our special guest, someone you're familiar with from many a Friday program and oftentimes a Wednesday and Friday program, Pastor Jason Schiffo. He joins us today for Memorization Monday.
Do you feel applauded, Jason?
I thought he was out of breath.
Oh, no. Yeah, yeah.
I thought he was...
No, that's the crowd. The crowd.
It sounds like my dog.
Yeah, that's the crowd. Yeah, so thank you for joining us on this Memorization Monday. You haven't spent many Mondays with me, many Wednesdays, many Fridays, sometimes an occasional Tuesday, but we got you on Monday.
This is the most awkward conversation ever. Yeah, yeah, he breathes heavy, then he's going, you haven't spent any Mondays with me.
Yeah, not enough time.
It's the weirdest thing ever. Marianne, I'm glad there's a counter.
Okay. How are you doing, Jason?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you
I'm
doing?
I'm fine, I'm fine.
Everything's good, yeah.
Happy Monday.
Yeah. Mark at counseling right now?
Yeah, I think I'm going to need counseling after the program. So Deuteronomy 6:7, this is out of 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart by Robert J. Morgan. This is our 13th week that we've been doing a different verse each and every week, and probably our almost fourth month of going through some of the chapters, because there was five or six chapters we spoke about and talked through some months back. But this one, as I was thinking of a special guest, and we've had, of the 13 weeks, I think we've had 11 different guests.
Yeah.
I thought instantly of Jason, just because, Jason, you've talked about this verse many times on Sundays as we've connected with how you're raising your own children, some of the devotional thoughts that go on in your family. But I think it's also a part of your church, some of those Sundays where, what do you call it, where we sit around round tables every six or so weeks? What's that called?
I'm super creative. I call it Round Table Sunday. Where we sit around the round tables. Somebody told me once, we should have a name for this. I said, how about Round Table Sunday?
It's very practical.
I love it. Wow, how'd you come up with that? The Look tables are round.
That's a very practical name.
Yeah. Or uncreate.
No, it's a good name, actually.
Good, yeah. Good.
Knights of the Round Table.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. See?
But part of your ministry calling is to equip the family to help in a powerful way proclaim the gospel while at home. All the work to bring someone to Christ and to teach them God's word isn't to happen just in the walls of the church.
Oh my gosh, if it is, then I think we're going to fail horribly, because Ephesians 4:11 and 12 says that the church, the job of the church is the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, the work of Christ, to be the hands and the feet. Yeah, if the church is the only method for that to happen, and if the pastor is the one who leads the charge and all that happening, the only... Gosh, it's never going to happen. And you're going to have a church full of spectators.
That's a great point.
And Jesus never calls us to be spectators, right? I mean, look at all the different things in the Bible that Jesus does. He always invites people. He calls Lazarus out of the tomb. What does he say to the people? Unwrap him. Why does he say that? What would be the messiest job if he just rose a guy from the dead? Unwrapping him. And so they say unwrap him, because Jesus wants us to get our hands dirty in the work of ministry, the work that he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good.
In fact, I grew up in a church that taught this very thing, and Reverend De Kreuter, he always said, my calling is to equip you to go into all the world. And mm-hmm. I like that mm-hmm. verse, go into all mm-hmm. the world, go into all your world and preach the gospel. And he said, so my calling is to equip you, to teach you, to be effective, to be those worker bees for God and God's kingdom. So, so that's how you look at your pastoral role, is equipping the saints, those that attend.
That's the job. And then my pastoral role is wrestling between how I'm supposed to do it and how I think I should do it. But that's a whole nother radio program / thing.
It'd be a good one.
Maybe.
Yeah, so should we read the
please save us
scripture?
Yeah.
All right. This is chapter 14. Is that how that goes, Mark? Is it chapter 14
or is it? Yeah, chapter 14.
Yep, that's okay. All right. Deuteronomy 6:7. Impress them on your children. I think I'm going to go back and read 6 just so it goes together.
Yeah.
These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up.
Kind of sounds like all the time, huh, Jason?
Basically.
No spoilers.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, this is Robert Morgan speaking. I read...
Oh, no, this is Marianne speaking.
Oh, right.
I was going to say, when you do that, I was waiting for a different voice. Like, this is Robert Morgan.
This is Robert Morgan. No. Okay. This is me, Marianne, reading Robert Morgan's book. Okay, to get real clear here.
Yeah.
Marianne will never do this again.
We're going to all need counseling after this program.
Oh, let's just counsel each other and go on. Yeah. Okay. I read an interesting book about the French Impressionist, Edouard Manet, and gained an insight about small blessings like flower blossoms, special moments, and Bible verses. Hmm. Manet often became dissatisfied with his larger paintings, and he would destroy the canvas by slicing out small scenes with which he was pleased and which seemed good enough to stand by themselves. These small cutouts became masterpieces. A good example is Women at the Races, which is now displayed at the Cincinnati Art Museum. It was originally part of a large painting, but Manet deemed it the only part of the scene worth saving, so he cut it out. The smaller painting, about 17 by 13 inches, is a wonder in itself, it is. We love all of the Word of God, but sometimes just a small verse cut from the Bible thrills our hearts. We're grateful for the long volumes of interesting literature, but sometimes just a scripture phrase can encourage us. Thank God for the miniatures of His grace. In Deuteronomy 6, we're told that the most effective, quote, family altars occur frequently, spontaneously, and naturally through the day as we share these, quote, miniatures with our children. I remember once when my father pulled me aside to show me a verse in the book of Amos that was fascinating to him. It fascinated me, too. I know of a mother whose child suffered bad dreams at night. Let me show you this Bible verse, which has helped me, she said, opening to Psalm 4:8. The child memorized the verse, and his nighttime fears evaporated. Dwight Eisenhower once told of a boyhood episode of losing his temper and storming to his room in a rage. After a while, his mother came in and showed him Proverbs 16:32. Patience is better than power, and controlling one's temper than capturing a city. It was a lesson Ike never forgot, which later served him well as Supreme Allied Commander during World War II and as President of the United States. Little verses, little truths, little insights shared spontaneously. Memorized in the family circle, this is the most powerful technique we have in raising our children in the fear and nurture of the Lord. And here's a quote from Amy Carmichael. Have you ever noticed this? Whatever need or trouble you're in, there's always something to help you in your Bible. If only you go on reading till you come to the word God specially has for you. I've noticed this often. Sometimes the special word is in the portion you would naturally read, or in the Psalms for the day, or in Daily Light, or maybe it's somewhere else. But you must go on till you find it, for it's always somewhere. You will know it the moment you come to it, and it will rest your heart.
Chapter 14, talking about Deuteronomy 6:7 out of 100 Bible verses everyone should know by heart by Robert J. Morgan. You want to repeat it one more time, Marianne?
Yeah.
For those that are memorizing along with us each and every week, we've been working on one verse, and this goes along with last week's lesson, Deuteronomy 6:6. So maybe review that one. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast or some of the past 13 other morning programs that deal with the different verses, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org.
I will read it. I just want to point out something about, before we move on from what he wrote, I love it that this mother said, "Let me show you a Bible verse which has helped me." That's so powerful. Instead of this parental, "This will help you, you should do this," it's, "Here's something that really helped me when I had a temper," whatever. I loved it. Okay, Deuteronomy 6:6 and 6:7. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up."
Now, one thing, Jason, that I've learned about you throughout the years, you don't generally just jump on that verse. You say, "Let me give you a little background. Let's get the context laid out.
That's great.
Let's look at this in its whole." So where are you going to take
us? Must have a preacher on our hands.
Yeah.
Well, context is king. And so, you know, why is this word here? That's always the question, right? Why is God saying this? What is the importance of this? Well, the book of Deuteronomy is written to a new generation. So book of Deuteronomy essentially means second telling, which is why in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy we see the Ten Commandments again. A lot of people will question themselves. They'll say, why do the Ten Commandments appear in Exodus? Why are the Ten Commandments being repeated in Deuteronomy? Is Moses stuttering? Why is he repeating himself? Well, because he has a new generation. The generation in the Exodus had really messed up quite spectacularly in a really horrible and wicked way. Incidents with golden calves and incidents with idol worshiping and all kinds of things that had happened, being led astray by the desires of their hearts rather than the desires for God. And so we have a new generation that's going to be entering into the promised land. And so Moses gives them everything that they need to be able to enter into the promised land and to flourish, to be able to come into the place that God wants them to be. So the promised land isn't just geographic. The promised land is a place where the fullness of God's work is being done. His promises, all the way back in the beginning of Exodus, where he says, "I will deliver you. I will bring you out. You're not truly brought out until you're delivered to the place that you've been brought out to." And so that's what the promised land is going to be. It's a land that God promised, and he promised it by his presence, and that's how he leads them. And so Moses gives this second telling. And as he does this, you know, we get to the most well-known passages, which are in Deuteronomy 6, which we just read. But unfortunately, we have to go a little further because there's even more happening, and 7 and 8 are just amazing. But he says, you know, "Hear, O Israel." So he's saying, listen. First of all, doesn't he? He starts by saying, "Who are you?" "You're Israel. You're Israel." That takes the story all the way back to when Jacob wrestles with God and he receives a new name. And so, you're Israel. You're not just simply a random people. You're Israel. That name comes from God, was given by God, and you are the people of God. And he says, "The Lord our God." Listen to this. It's not simply the God who's somewhere out there and we worship him and we wonder about him, but we do so from a distance. He is our God. The Lord is one. One with what? One with everything. He created all things. All things come through him. All things. The writers of Deuteronomy, the writer of Deuteronomy, doesn't even understand the fullness of that until later on, if he could be able to read the words of the Apostle Paul when he says all things in Colossians were made through him and by him, and he holds all things together. And he says, because of this, because you are Israel, because he is your God, and because he is one with everything, he is the creator of all things, and yet he has chosen to place his affections, to set his affections upon you. He says so many times in the Bible, "Oh Israel, you I have known." And he means that in a deep, kind of powerful and profound way. And so he says, because of all this, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Because what else can you do in response to what God has done? All of it. And really, I love this. Moses is saying, don't hold anything back, because that's the places that become strongholds for idolatry, for wickedness, for evil, for all the kinds of things that the other generation struggled with. You can be free of those things, but you have to give your whole heart to the Lord. And one of the things that is so important, see, we have a short view of sin. So what happens is the sins that I commit, I think, well, these are my sins, and I've committed these sins, and oh my gosh, they wreck my life. But we don't realize is that we need to have a longer view of sin. The Bible sees sin as always affecting three generations. So sin always affects your children. Sin always affects your children's children. At the beginning of the year when I was on my sabbatical and I went through some materials and looked at like my family of origin, it was amazing how I go, wow, the things that I do, my mother does. And I, you know, you already get like a feel of that. Mm-hmm. But you go, the things my mother did, my grandmother did too. And my great-grandmother, what little I do know, and what I've been able to find out, she did too. And so those sins visit themselves generationally upon people. And so you have a choice. Are we going to cut this off here, or am I going to hand it to my son and say, oh, gosh, I'm so sorry. I was careless not only with my sin, but I was careless in how I dealt with it, so now you get to have it too.
Oh, my.
And so that's why Deuteronomy makes sure to talk about the relationship between parents and fathers and children. And this is not to demean women in any way, shape, or form. But the Bible does see that teaching the children about the Lord is the father's job to do. Because it's the father's job to show what the father is like. And that's not to demean women at all. In fact, I think the Bible has a very high view of women. So when people say, well, the Bible is trying to demean women or support patriarchy, I don't think that that's true at all. The Bible actually has an incredibly high view of women. Just go and ask anybody who stands witness for Jesus. 10 times out of 10, they're women. And so he says, these words that I command you today shall be upon your heart. Why your heart? Because when things are in your heart, you mean them. Your heart would be considered the center seat of your being, the strength of your being. It would also be the place where God speaks to you and God works within you. So these shall be upon your heart. What should be upon your heart? That you'll teach them diligently to your children. That you'll talk about them when you lie, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the road, when you lie down and when you rise. That's all the time. Mm-hmm. So what are you going to talk about all the time? The Lord. In fact, the NIV says that you shall impress them upon your children, which gives you the kind of word picture of laying your hand upon them and not letting it up. It's a constant kind of pressure and presence. That means that, listen, you may waffle in how you do your parenting and you may waffle in how you handle your finances, but consistent in your message ought to always be who the Lord is. And why is that? Well, there's two reasons. Number one, and I'm always long on words, and we're short on time.
That's great.
Deuteronomy 8 says this, take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments. So this ties to that, teaching them the commandments, keeping the commandments. And this Deuteronomy 8 says, take care, because you'll forget them. Why? His commandments and his rules and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten, when you're full, when you've built good houses and you live in them, when your herds and flocks multiply, when your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart, remember, teach them, impress them upon their hearts. Mm-hmm. Your heart will be lifted up and you will forget the Lord your God and you will say, it was by my hand that I did this. Mm-hmm. Because that in our humanity, that's so easy to go, look at all this wonderful stuff. I must have done this. I must have done this. And there's no possible way, if we believe who God is, that we can believe that we did all this stuff. But listen, I think as fathers, and I think maybe even as mothers too, I'm not qualified to speak as a mother, but as a father I can. I know that I love it when my kids look at me and they're like, Dad, can you put Barbie's arm back on? Right, and I'm like, Watch me go. You know, and I glue Barbie's arm back on, and she's like, it's just like new, Papa. You're amazing. And you're like, you know, in that moment, let's just be honest, you don't want to be like, well, I had the Lord's help. You want to be like, I did it, didn't I? You love me. I'm awesome. I'm Papa. I think that that's a real, for fathers and for mothers, for parents, that's a real struggle to say, listen, I didn't do it on my own. I had help. The Lord did it. The Lord does everything. And listen, the Bible even says in Deuteronomy that you're supposed to live this kind of crazy life where it says in chapter 6 and verse 20, when your son asks you in time to come, so there will come a time when your son will ask you this, what is the meaning of the testimonies and statutes and rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Mm-hmm. Like there's a time when your kid will come to you and he'll be like, Dad, what does this all mean?
That's right.
Dad, what's this all like? Who is the Lord really? Why do you follow him? And this is a conversation that takes us back to some of the first things we talked about today. If you expect the church to save your kids, you are not serving your children well. Because the Bible thinks that you live as a parent the kind of life that your kids come to you and ask you, why do you live that way? Why do you make the decisions you make? Why don't you do things like other people do? And that's your moment where you get to talk about the statutes and the commandments, who the Lord is, how he radically changed your life. You get to share your testimony with your children. And listen, that might be hard. I remember when my son was, I think, 10 or 11, I had to say, like, listen, I was a selfish and wicked person, and I didn't do good things, and I just treated your mother horribly, and this is what happened. But I got to also in there show him God's redemption. That God delivers. And listen, so I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and podcast is just like internet radio, which should never replace real radio. But on there, a gentleman was interviewing R.C. Sproul. Now, most people know R.C. Sproul, the big R.C. Sproul.
Right, right.
But there is R.C. Sproul Jr., and R.C. Sproul Jr. was doing fairly well. And then he began to handle a lot of the stresses and pressure of being a notable preacher's son through drinking. He got a DUI. And he came to his father, he said, not too long after he got the DUI, and he said, you know, and he was fired from his job at teaching at a seminary. He was, you know, it negatively impacted his life. And he came to his father, who was a noted theologian, R.C. Sproul Sr., and he said, Dad, I failed. I failed. I wanted to be a perfect son, and I failed. And I just keep repenting. And his dad said to him, he said, son, I've never asked you to be perfect, but I know my work was never in vain if you went to the most perfect person when you didn't know what to do.
Oh, my goodness. I love that.
And it was such a moment of grace and such a moment where I go, this dad gets it.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he gets it. Because in that moment, I mean, this is negative. You could be like, you screwed up. You ruined this. You did that. No. That's my job was to make you understand that Christ is your only hope.
That's powerful.
That God is your only hope. And that's what Deuteronomy is trying to tell us to do with the children.
Yeah.
To impress it upon them. To diligently teach them. To make it a part of their life when they get up. Listen, this is so stinking simple for all of you. When you talk of them, when you sit down in your house, that's kind of dinner, right? We all sit down together, that's dinner. We pray and we thank the Lord. When you lie down, that's when they get ready to go to bed. Man, just lay your hand on him and say, in Jesus' name I ask. You'll feel his presence as you sleep. You'll wake up feeling closer to him. You'll fall more in love with him. We just love you, Lord. When you walk along the road, that's when you walk along and you go, wow, look at that tree. Praise God, he created that tree. It's amazing. A few weeks ago, it didn't have any flowers on it. Look at how it's blooming. Do you smell those smells? Do you see what's happening with the sea? Praise God. Deuteronomy is saying, every opportunity, wherever you are, you have a chance to point out how God is at work. And the more you help your kids find God everywhere, the more they won't feel alone everywhere they are.
Oh, that's a good statement.
And though this is, you know, specifically for maybe the father or dad, let me exhort everyone that's tuned in, because you can influence the children in your life, whether you're a teacher, whether you have neighbor kids, anyone.
Oh, definitely.
Impress them on your children or on the children you know. So I'll recap Deuteronomy 6:7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Oh, well, thank you, Pastor Jason.
Yes.
Thank you, Mary Ann. Another Memorization Monday. I hope you're being blessed by this book, 100 Bible Verses Everyone Should Know by Heart, but better yet, blessed by the book, the book that this is written about, the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, inspired by God, life lessons for all of us, but better yet, more than lessons, it gets us to know God the Father, the God who's sovereign over all the universe, and he desires a relationship with each and every one of us. So
that's right, Mark.
That's the most important thing we can glean from God's Word, is getting to know God, who loves you and cares for you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and Mary Ann Simpkins with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.